Hi, Daniel. Good to talk to you again.
Likewise. Now, the show is called The Forgotten Australians. It's tonight on Prime 7, all about the devastating bushfires last year and earlier this year. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we call it The Forgotten Australians because when the fires devastated parts of Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, especially WA later, last year, about $250 million was raised, including about $152 million from Celeste Barber, which was fantastic. And we thought that they were covered. We actually said, look, you know, we'll look after you. We'll make sure that people were cared for. Well, then COVID came along. And COVID completely distracted everybody. And when we went back this time, we kept hearing about people saying, you know, what about me? What about, you know, we don't have the house, we don't have the farm, we don't have the fences, we don't have et cetera. And, you know, what happened to the money? So we decided to go back and have a look, not at the bushfires, but at the people.
Yep. And how are they going?
Well, what surprised me, Daniel, was the and I've covered a lot of natural traumas over the years, from the tsunami in Indonesia, where 200,000 people were killed, and floods and devastated areas of refugee camps and things like this. But I don't think I've ever seen the impact as a PTSD on the mental health of people as much as this one. It really surprised me. For I'm a bush boy. I grew up in the bush in New South Wales, and I spent a lot of time in the bush in Australia ever since. And yet I thought, you know, I know they're tough. I know they're resilient. I had no idea that the impact of these fires had been as long-term as they have been.
Ray Martin joins us this afternoon. The Forgotten Australians tonight on Prime 7. Of course, Ray, with the bushfires, sadly, 35 people died. 3 billion, that's B with... A billion animals were destroyed. Homes and buildings were destroyed. We went down earlier this year, before COVID hit, with food supplies and clothing supplies to the people of Bruthen in Gippsland. And that was a moving experience, just driving into that particular area, just seeing the devastation firsthand. I can only imagine what was going through yours and your producer's mind and everybody else when you were doing this particular special.
Yeah, we spent about 4 weeks on it in various parts of the country, and we knew I'd looked at all that amazing footage, the film and the TVU stuff from last year and early this year, and I thought I understood it. I'd been covering fires before in my life, but I didn't really. This one was different, and maybe that's the way it's going to be for as the norm in Australia in the summertime now and the areas, and the heat was just, as you found, was extraordinary. It was, areas, they tell us that, I think, aluminium melts at about 1,200 degrees, and some of those areas had 2,000 degrees plus where the fires came through. And probably the area that you're talking about as well, there are parts of a national park that I was in just the back of Bega in New South Wales, and I sat there and I realised that we did a, we filmed this and recorded it, but I realised that there were no ants on the ground. There were no bees or beetles. There were no lizards. There were no kangaroos, certainly, and very few birds in this national park. Normally the sound of birds in the morning or the afternoon is almost ear-shattering. Yep. And there was no sound, and they just weren't there. So, the scientists have told us, as they told us about the Victorian fires, in certain spots where it isn't part of the life cycle of Australian bush to burn as intensely as that, and it could be 50 to 100 years before they come back to any sort of normality. Wow. In those areas. And that's devastating. It makes you think again that if that's the way of the future, then we've got to be very super careful. And of course, that was the greatest impact, I think, was just seeing what long-term damage had been done. But then beyond that was just this, the PTSD, as I mentioned, the people who'd been, had long-term impacts, people who simply unexpectedly just broke down, tough farmers and tough women who would suddenly just have a tear rolling down their cheeks as they talked about that day and that night.
Have you kept in touch with those people that spoke to you about the series?
Yes,
have you kept in touch with them?
Yeah, we have. And in fact, you do on that. We spent about a month all up. And the most recent filming was just a week or so back. Yeah. And it's still, they were very grateful for the fact that we've come back not to do the fires, but come back to do the people. Yeah. And I think the impact we're already seeing is that, politicians and local governments and so on take notice if, newspapers or radio or television come along and start to put a spotlight on a problem. And these weren't people ever who were whinging. Never. We didn't hear anyone whinge. They were simply saying, look, you know, we were promised some help. And what about us? What's happened to that? And they weren't whinging. Generally, the insurance companies have done a good thing. Generally, governments have done a good thing, including the federal and state governments. But local governments often put red tape in the attempt to try and build a new farmhouse or a new farm shed. And unnecessarily, you know, instead of saying, look, these poor buggers have had enough, why don't we just give them a break? And so they'd be waiting to get things passed by council, or there'd be some insurance companies that didn't pay up. As I say, most did, but some that didn't. And other people who were simply couldn't understand why people down the road had fences built, but they didn't have fences rebuilt and things like this. So they needed someone to, I guess, just to say, look, you know, are you okay? And B, look, we're listening. We're taking note of what you're saying.
Certainly some moving pictures when we saw them on the TV when the fires were happening, you know, people crying, as you mentioned there, you know, tough farmers and tough women were crying because they were just have absolutely everything devastated. And the other image for me, Ray, was Andrew Constance, the state member. The tears rolling down his face because he tried so hard to protect as much as he can. It's just those images that you see, and still to this day, and we're talking about it, what, nearly 12 months later, that stick in your mind and you think, what can we do now to help them post-COVID? And surely there's something we can do to try and help them out one way or another.
Yeah, exactly right. And 12 months later, it is still, the damage is still as deep. And as I say, you can rebuild houses if you have to, but it's very hard to rebuild damaged, people.
Yep.
And so I guess partly it's recognising, I think that's what the documentary's done. It's these are fantastic people, and they've still got their sense of humour, and they're tougher than me. I think just the capacity to lose everything and then and pick yourself up and brush off the dust and say, right, let's give it a go, which is what they're doing. But I guess, you know, the value is, A, that we can make maybe local governments and even the, you know, for example, there was a fire truck in one of the areas just outside of Kempsey in northern New South Wales, and the volunteer firefighters, have been working with a truck that's 20 years old and really is a death trap. It really is a dangerous beast of a fire truck, but that's the only one they've got. And we sort of highlighted that. They were anxious to try and have that change. Well, we think we've probably had that upgraded to a new one. Simple things like on that particular fire truck, if the volunteer firefighters get engulfed in flames and they have to go to the cabin, the cockpit of the truck, modern trucks have a button you press and it just basically sprays water all over the cockpit to hopefully help the firefighter survive. Well, this one, you had no such thing. You had to get out. Someone had to get out of the truck cabin and run back to the back of the truck and pull a lever and almost certainly going to be, you know, burnt on their way out. And so it was just they knew each time that they were threatened with fires that they didn't have it. Well, those sorts of things and a truck that would probably fall apart in those terrible conditions needed to be fixed. So we've done that, and I think probably as well as hopefully local governments would realise that it's time just to pass the DA and let people rebuild and let people go on with life. So I think those sorts of things, and just the fact that we recognise that they do have a problem and we need to help them, I think that's a good thing.
It is called The Forgotten Australians. It's on tonight, Prime 7. Ray, really do appreciate your time this afternoon, and look forward to seeing it in a few hours' time.
Thanks, Daniel, very much, and Merry Christmas to you and your listeners.